Hey, hey, I'm your host, the Dr. Danko, come on in. You've been missing out, so let's begin. Oh, Pumpkin underscore Crumb is your host here too. When you hear the beat, you know what to do. Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you warn me now? Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you warn me? Hey. Good evening and welcome to Why Did Not You Warn Me? I'm your host, Matthew, the Dr. Danko.
And I'm your co-host, Hillary Crumb. You almost said the Matthew Danko podcast, didn't you?
A little bit, only because you had
just said it.
But don't call it that.
Right.
Anyway. So.
Don't touch the desk.
No, it's fine. I think it's because this carpet in all the rooms, because it's all the same, is very, like, when you put something on it, it gets
moves.
The impression of it, like, super quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to take a little while for this desk to sort of sink into where it is right now.
Sure.
So it'll become more structurally sound. But I will try not to touch it so that everything doesn't fall down.
You said sink in, and my immediate thought was in sync, because it's going to be May. Or rather, it is
May.
May 1st, I woke Matt up by playing, it's gonna be May.
Right, but that's not like the
Can
first line of the song.
Can you absolutely stop being so critical?
I'm not being critical, I'm being factual.
Something like, you've been hurt, babe, that ain't no lie.
That and the whole buildup, because I remember when I was a kid, because I had Backstreet Boys CDs,
obviously.
But I definitely listened to NSYNC a lot, too.
Sure.
And that particular music video was my favorite.
Because of the toys, probably.
Probably subconsciously.
It takes place in a fucking toy store.
But it was the fact that they were like real life action figures.
Right, they were doing the puppet thing. It was very symbolic. And
it was
then we go
cool.
into the era of No Strings Attached.
Yes.
Which, you know,
it was
some
a
evolution
cool,
for NSYNC.
Yes, the growth.
Right.
You could see them grow.
Backstreet
as
Boys
artists.
Have not grown.
No.
Like, to this day.
Show them what you're made of.
Which is the exact same thing they were made of in the 90s.
I know. I mean, I don't know where all of NSYNC is, but Justin Timberlake's doing pretty well for
Justin us. Timberlake is like the only one from that era that anyone even knows anything about currently.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair to say.
He's the only one that got a career.
Yeah, and like consistently. Like he's been an actor, he's been, you know, still making music and like comedy and like doing the Lonely Island stuff. Like
I can't even name all the members of NSYNC. I know that Lance Bass is gay.
Well, yeah.
That's all I know.
He almost went to space once.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. That was like a thing. They were going to send him to space.
Okay.
It didn't happen.
To sing? Like what?
Yeah,
to
they
be
were
going to
do
like
a USO tour on the moon. And so they wanted Lance Bass. No one else.
Right.
Just
not
him.
Like NSYNC. Just Lance Bass.
Right.
Perfect.
I think Joey Fatone's like on a reality show. But other than that, I have no idea.
It was a weird tangent that we just went on.
I know. But anyways, so.
Check out the Backstreet Boys documentary, Show 'em What You're Made Of, because it was made in like 2009 and it's the best thing I've ever watched.
It should still be on Netflix, because why wouldn't it be? Right. Where else is it playing?
Everywhere, ideally.
But I'd imagine there's going to be another one sometime soon.
I hope so.
Just, where are they now?
They're performing in Vegas. They have a
permanent
spot.
Oh, that's right. They have a setup there in Vegas. That's, I mean, good for them, though. Like, because it's very, like, obviously all 90s stuff lives in the 90s. Like,
right.
They've found a way to stay alive and making music, even if it's not, like, mainstream. They're at least still performing somewhere
well, like,
in the world.
The best part of it is that they have no idea that the world has moved on.
Right. They like, still live like it is the 90s.
Like it's the 90s. They have no idea that they're completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
People don't care if they're making new stuff. That's not why anybody goes to see a Backstreet Boys
They'd
concert. They'd
probably make more money if they just kept doing their old stuff.
Yeah, if they would like re-release Millennium.
Yeah.
You bet your ass I would buy that.
Yeah, they could totally do that.
Right. I want to hear them do As Long As You Love Me, like, you know, Shape of My Heart, I think.
Yeah.
Is what it's, yeah. Like, you know, the classics.
Yes.
Quit playing games with my heart.
Yeah.
I want it
stuff.
That way. I'll keep naming them until you stop.
No, but I'm happy for them wherever you guys are.
Good for Vegas, the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, keeping on, keeping on.
So anyways,
what you'll probably notice is that this isn't Thursday night or Friday morning.
I was going to mention that
as well. We are in the process of sort of picking a new day for when our podcast will be recorded and air. We're recording Sunday afternoon. I got off work kind of early, so we're, you know, we have some free time. I generally don't like to podcast in the afternoon or the morning because, like, I introduce the show as good evening. Yes, because I'm a night owl and I'm more awake and, like, can process more at night.
Sure.
But I also don't like to, you know, if I podcast or if we podcast, it, you know, it takes up like an hour and a half.
Right.
And then there's the whole editing process, which I don't really edit the show, but I do put the intro and outro music on it, and then I have to upload it to YouTube. So there's, like, at least a two-hour process ahead of me, and that eats up the night if I've closed at work, and then I have to eat, and then I do this, and then it's, like I have to get ready for bed. Yeah,
I have to be at work super early, no matter what I'm doing. The zoo, I have to leave here by 7:30. I'm going to start a job on Monday that I will have to be there by 7:15, which I think means leaving here at like 6:30.
Yeah, something
hurts
stupid.
Me in my soul. Yeah. So yeah, we were unemployed for the past couple of months.
Right.
So picking one day of the week that the podcasting might be the only thing we had to do that day. So now we're trying to fit it into a working life, and it's going to take some trial and error, I would imagine. And, you know, it might end up going up on different days, just whatever's more convenient that week.
I mean, I think because we're not super popular,
I don't think it's going to matter.
It doesn't matter.
As long as we text your mom and give her a heads up.
Right.
Like,
no.
You know.
I know the guys talking about shit. They, the GTAS podcast, they listen every now and then.
Right.
But
we're funny sometimes.
Yeah.
Not consistently.
No.
But
well, we don't have to be. The show
we're
is for us.
Doing this for us, babe.
Exactly.
Right.
But, like, eventually, maybe we'll get more consistent with it. But as long as we don't go a week without doing it,
exactly.
That's really all I care about. And,
same.
You know, even though I was pushing it off, you know, until we had some free time and it wasn't like, oh, we do this and then we have to get ready for bed. And then,
right.
Because I'm real weird about, like, starting the next day. Like, I like enjoying the downtime I have.
Right.
You know, because of my anxiety.
Right.
But it's cool. We'll find, you know, sort of a groove we'll get in. But right now, we can kind of just freeform it and figure
out
what
works. It's going
to
be trial and error for a little bit, but we will get one podcast done a week.
Right.
So.
That's the goal.
Right.
So what have you been reading or have read or finished reading? Or
Thank you
go
for
through
that.
Everything.
So I read another Jodi Picoult book that I've read before. But this one I had only read once and I didn't actually remember how it ended.
Mm-hmm.
And I purposefully have not mentioned anything about the plot to you this week because it's insane and I thought that your reactions would be better live.
Okay. Cool.
So
let's do this.
So it's called Change of Heart. And at the very beginning of the book, they're at the sentencing phase of a murder trial.
Okay.
This guy named Shay Byrne is convicted of the murder of a police officer and his stepdaughter.
Okay.
So he is sentenced to death row.
Shit.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's New Hampshire. New Hampshire's like first death row inmate in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
So bye-bye, Shay. We get the point of view, because it's Jodi Picoult, we get a bunch of different POVs. We get the police officer's wife and the mother of the little girl. She's one of our points of view. A guy named Michael, who the first time we meet him is one of the jurors who convicts Shay and then goes off and becomes a priest because he feels so guilty about sentencing a man to death row, ends up being Shay's spiritual advisor before he dies.
Yikes.
Yeah. So those two, an ACLU lawyer who picks up this case, and there's someone else. Oh, one of the other... Was Chandler there? Yes, he was. Yes. And then a death row inmate who's, or no, nope, another, Jesus Christ, another.
Jesus Christ was there too?
Oh, just fucking wait. another like top security violent crime inmate. Who we find out is, his name's Lucius. He's a...
Malfoy.
Yeah. he's a gay man who's in prison for killing his lover because he caught him with another guy.
Crime of passion.
Right. But the guy, Lucius, is also dying of AIDS in jail, which is great. This isn't even...
It's a whirlwind. I know.
It's not even, like, the plot yet.
I just, every time you describe a Joey Picoult book to me, I'm like, there's so many details.
They
like, they're so in-depth.
They are absolutely insane.
But continue.
And, like, this one isn't even one of the better ones.
Okay, this is just like a...
So we have the issue, like, you know, the social justice angle is that, this, that it's a death row case.
Yeah.
But it's not really, because Shay... No, I have to... So... June is the wife of this police officer.
Okay.
Has another daughter. You know, she was pregnant at the time of the murders.
Mm-hmm.
Gives birth to Claire, who has some sort of heart defect. So we have, like, the sentencing and everything, and then we fast forward, I think, 8 years.
Okay.
Maybe it might be, like, 10, maybe more. So Claire is, like, growing up with this bad heart, and she and her mother have been through, like, a lot trying to deal with it. And then we go over to Shay, who is in jail and has decided that he's lost all of his appeals. He is going to die.
Okay.
Decides that the issue that he is going to fight for is that when he dies, he wants to be able to donate his organs so that Claire can have his heart. Yeah.
Jeez.
The problem is that when you execute someone by lethal injection, the organs are not viable for donation. So enter this ACLU lawyer who thinks that if she takes this case, it will shine light on the death penalty and blah, 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 blah. And she's sort of hinging it on, like, First Amendment, being able to follow your religion up to and even including the manner of your death.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's sort of a somewhat a civil rights thing. Like,
right.
If I want to donate my body to science or whatever, be an organ donor,
right,
I have that right because they're my organs and everything.
Right.
But so, like, how does that, you know, put
so
a...
So we have a couple of the balls in play.
Yeah.
Then, so Shay is on... it's I tier is where he is living in jail with Lucius and these other, like, crazy people.
Theodore Bagwell and
C-Note. Prison break. Strange, unexplainable things start happening on I tier.
Okay.
So I'm trying to think of how it starts, like, what the first thing. The water turns to wine. So they go to, like, turn on their sinks and, like, flush their toilets.
Yeah.
Like, all of the water just on this tier has turned to wine.
Huh.
Yeah. then we start seeing a series of what look like miracles that very closely are shadowing things that Jesus Christ did.
Right.
In all the stories. He has, like... Shay has a piece of bazooka bubblegum that he somehow shares between the seven inmates.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It's so weird. Lucius has AIDS, which I mention because he wakes up one morning and the sores on his face are gone. And it looks like, for all intents and purposes, his blood work comes back completely normal. And this is a man who has been very sick for a very long time. But, like, Shay slash Jesus cured the leper. one of the inmates catches a bird and has been keeping it, like, as a secret pet in his cell. The bird appears to have died. And Shay
brings it back,
puts his hands on the bird, and suddenly it's twittering away again.
Yeah.
Possibly. So, enter... Michael, the juror turned priest who becomes Shay's spiritual advisor. And it's just like a whole crazy thing of like, are these really miracles? Is it just perception? Is it like, what are we fucking dealing with here? And how does that affect, you know, his intention to donate his heart? And like, Maggie, this lawyer, who she kind of annoys me. I didn't particularly like her. She's building this case surrounding the idea that he should be able to die how he wants. And like, her intention is to drag religion into the courtroom, which goes against everything she, as an ACLU lawyer and a Jew, believes. And we're also getting like chapters occasionally from June, who is telling us that her daughter is getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And then she gets contacted by these people. I want to say Maggie, the attorney, gets in touch with her and says that the guy who murdered her former husband and daughter wants to give her ailing daughter his heart. And her response is, absolutely the fuck not. Like, why would I do that? And like, things just keep getting crazier and crazier and crazier as they do in Jodi Picoult novels. And then like, the, and we're all the time, we're wondering like, is Shay just pulling one over on everybody? What does he believe about himself? Like, he's sort of, he's quoting from this gospel that's not even in the Bible. It's one of the, I think they're called the Gnostic Gospels. It's the Gospel of Thomas.
So something like that.
Like, quoting from this weird, like, esoteric text that he claims to not even know what it is. And he, like, he's kind of a weird guy. It sounds like possibly on the autism spectrum. Just like off-putting to have a conversation that gets like caught up in emotions and unable to like communicate clearly what he's trying to get across.
Why didn't I warn me?
Exactly. So we end up back in court trying to resolve this issue. Claire is like getting sicker and sicker and sicker. June at some point decides that she will take the heart. Because like, somehow it ends up being a perfect match for her daughter, which is crazy. And everybody's like, this should not be a thing. So at least the characters in the book know that, you know, it's stupid as well. The court hearing goes in Shay's favor. So they decide, apparently hanging is a viable option to like...
Seems a little less humane.
It does seem a little bit less humane, but the way in which you die means that your organs are able to be donated.
No, I figured that. I mean, I also remember, I think it was an episode of House, like, in theory, what they could do is operate on this dude, remove Shay. Remove the heart so it's viable, keep him alive on life's a life support system of some kind, and then do the lethal injection. That way, you know, it's still... Because, like, you're dealing with the death penalty, so it's, like, they're dying for a crime they committed, like, as almost an eye for an eye sort of thing. Like, they committed a murder, so we're going to murder them.
And the issue that they're that the court is dealing with is that his sentence was death by lethal injection.
So that's even more to the point of, like, well, like, if, so it's that thing of, like, you're still taking a human life, so you kind of want to be... as least shitty with it as possible. Like, I can't believe the electric chair was a thing at one point.
Like, what are
that's
we?
That's ridiculous and awful and all this other stuff. But, like, so lethal injection, yes, they're dying for the crime they committed, but they're not, like, suffering so much.
Well...
I mean, I don't, like, as
the data
much
is apparently
as...
shaky on that. Because, like, the injection, if, like... if it reacts to you weirdly or the mixture isn't exactly right, then you'll be paralyzed but in, like, skin-melting pain until you die, so...
Okay, well, then we can think of something else.
And, like, so one of the... we also got a lot of input from a doctor as one of the characters, and he was going to be involved in making sure the hanging was as humane as possible, because, like, a, if it's... if the noose is in a certain place and the drop is at a certain angle, then your neck just snaps and it's instantaneous. It. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not like suffering, like gasping for breath.
You're not hanging there. Right.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. So like, yeah, it was it's crazy. Sticky, and of course, but... because it's Jodi Picoult, there's some like crazy twist at the end. But he does die.
He is Jesus.
We never really
he comes
know.
Back.
He does die. Claire does get the heart, and
so we never really know whether or not it was just bullshit.
I mean, there are like some like... things get explained, but some things also don't. And sort of like Maggie, this lawyer, her father's a rabbi because, mm-hmm. of course, we have a priest and a rabbi and a possible Christ. And the rabbi is explaining a little bit about Jewish belief and also mm-hmm. his personal brand of Jewish belief, that like his idea that's supported by the Torah is that like every generation has someone who has the potential to be the Messiah.
Yeah,
into
I've heard
every generation is born
like
a slayer, you know.
Yes, I was thinking part of that yeah. as well, but it's true, like, yeah, why not,
right? And but you know, and then Maggie's like, well, why hasn't there been a Messiah yet? Like, just because they had the potential, if they didn't rise to it, yeah. then they weren't meant to be the Messiah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it was weirdly religious, and like, I didn't love
one wacky
many
game
of the characters.
Show. Like,
yeah.
there's a lot of shit going on.
Always. Yeah. Like,
and once, I mean, Jodi Picoult, obviously, she's a writer, but like, yeah. she, when she does her research for shit like this, what is like she's not a crime writer per se,
right? She talks to people, like she's done books on so many different things,
yeah, from like, everything you've told me, like you could almost pick up just any Jodi Picoult book and it won't be exactly the like maybe similar, obviously similar writing styles, yeah. but like similar ways she gets to certain things.
Yeah, I mean, it's a similar formula.
Yeah,
but
formula, that's
like,
the word I was looking
but
for.
But the world that it's based in is so completely different. Like, yeah. there's one that's, like, a woman who researches elephants and, like, goes and lives with elephants. Yeah. And I learned so much about elephants in that book. One, like, an Amish girl is mm-hmm. the center of it. So the character goes and lives in Amish country. Like, just crazy
specific things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get a variety of it as the reader of like,
right.
as the fan of a Jodi Picoult book. That's pretty
yeah.
cool though.
And like, you know, I've said before that some of the books are hit or miss, but I own almost
yeah.
all of them.
Yeah.
Because like the one thing I know is that it will be a page turner.
Mm-hmm.
Like regardless of how invested I think I am, I'm going to tear through it.
Yeah. Yeah, because you finished that one pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think it was a little less than a week. But
and you had read it before, you said? Or
yeah,
no?
many
yeah.
years ago. But yeah.
Yeah, but it's just crazy.
It's completely crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. that's. And I started reading a book that I picked up by Gail Forman called I Have Lost My Way. And I'm probably going to finish that today or tomorrow, but I'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, super cool.
So, what have you been watching?
Okay, well, I've been watching a few things because I've been sort of in this slump of not a slump, but just like finding the time to watch shit.
Right.
And then earlier this week, I got news that Arrested Development was coming back from the creator Michael Hurwitz. Not just that there was going to be a new season 5 sometime soon, mm-hmm. but that, you know, the show was on Fox. Back in the day, it had 3 seasons and it got canceled because nobody was watching. And like the show, the way it tells its jokes, like it was very much aware of the kind of show it was by season 3 and like the shit they could do. And in like one of the final episodes of season 3, there's a whole episode where like the family, the Bluth family, is trying to throw this dinner to save their family, like a charity thing. But like that's what was going on in their world. But in our world, it was like a save our show type thing. Okay. So they were talking like what about the home builders organization? Do they want us? No, the HBO isn't going to want us. And like, well, I think it's showtime. We should have a show during dinner and like do all this other stuff. So there was a lot of double talk. And like, then it might have been that same episode or the episode afterwards. They just were going to do all the things that they never got to do.
Huh.
Like, there's a scene where it's like, put your 3D glasses on now, and then for like 2 seconds of that scene, it turns into like a 3D type movie or whatever, like the red and blue type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Just wacky stuff, and like, you know how they do the previously on mm-hmm. in most shows. This one had that, but then was like, and you won't guess what happens tonight. One of these characters, and then it shows all the characters, will die. And then like halfway through the episode, one of the characters that we've never seen or grown attached to makes this offhanded racist comment, and we're like, the narrator's like, we'll just tell you now, she's the one that dies. So like, they do all this crazy stuff. So then the show went off the air and all that stuff. But then Netflix became a thing, and like, they started doing their own original series and everything. Mm-hmm. So it picked up this show for season 4, which like, Netflix is the home of Arrested Development, in my opinion, because it's like, Netflix can get away with pretty much anything okay. with how they market their stuff. And like, the build up to season 4, there would be things, because they had all 3 seasons of Arrested Development on there. There would be like, fictional shows that existed on the on Arrested Development. Mm-hmm. They would make like little clip art, and like, as if you could watch it on Netflix, so that when you clicked on it, like the Judge Reinhold show, like his courtroom show, because his name is Judge Reinhold, and they decide to put him into a reality show where he plays a judge.
Okay.
But they put up a little photo of that, and then you could click on it as if to watch that show. It's fine. It's not gonna fall.
The tick is gonna fall and eat you.
It's not. It's fine. So then when you click on it to watch that show, it jumps to that part in a certain episode where they do a little skit from that show and stuff like that. So like,
that's cool.
Even like just weird references you could find all over the internet, just as this like marketing, sort of like how Deadpool was marketing okay. their shit. But then season 4 came, and it was shot completely different than the rest of the show. Like right. the way it was styled, each episode sort of focused on one central character, and it would be their journey throughout that episode, and the other characters would sort of interact with them in certain scenes, but then it would still fall back on them, like on the main focus of that character. So all building up to the final episode, which would like bring all the stories together and like see how it plays out. But nobody really liked that. They were like, I want the original style of it back. And so these two guys on Reddit decided to take all the footage from season 4 and re-edit it to be how the show originally was.
Okay.
So because there's been such a long time between seasons 4 and 5, the creator decided, you know what, I'm going to do this the right way, and like re-edited season 4 so much so that it's called like Season 4 Remix. I can't remember the full title, but it's like released as a remix season that's available now on Netflix. It came out on Cinco de Cuatro, which is a fictional holiday that they've created in the universe of Arrested gotcha. Development.
Okay.
So when I found out that show was coming back and that there was going to be a new season 4, I decided to rewatch all 3 seasons because naturally. It's been so long since I've watched it. So I decided to rewatch that. And I could talk about Arrested Development forever. I know you're not a fan of the show.
Nope.
And that's fine. But the show has a lot of funny qualities throughout it, and especially with the Saddam Hussein stuff later on in season 3.
Who doesn't love a good Saddam Hussein joke?
It's just tied into a lot of the shit that goes on in the show.
Okay.
But it's very timely too, because it was like mid-2000s.
Right.
There's also a prison break episode where like Tobias is like falling apart, and he's in a wheelchair, and he like goes to high five the Michael Cera's character, and he's like, don't leave your Uncle Teabag hanging, and jokes like that. And then they're like, we need to get into the prison because there's like a gala going on that night, and they don't have a way in or something. And he's like, it's not a Jamba Juice, Michael, it shouldn't be that hard to break into, as a reference to Prison Break, where he says like, we're not breaking out of a Jamba Juice, gentlemen, we need to put some work into this. It doesn't faze you at all, it's fine.
It's just you and like 2 other people who would have appreciated that reference.
You know what, yes. But
I told you about the Prison Break reference in Change of Heart. the Lucius, the gay guy, said that he imagined heaven as being full of guys that look like Wentworth Miller from Prison Break. Yes. Sorry,
you know,
go on.
I'm a huge fan of any Prison Break related anything.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if you know that about me.
I wonder why that is.
I totally lost my train of thought.
Breaking.
I mean, so you don't like Arrested Development. I know that.
Right.
But anyway, so I've actually also been watching season 2 of Scream, the television show, because it's been a long time since I watched season 1, so much so that I couldn't even remember what happened in season 1 when I started watching season 2.
I hate that.
And I know. So, like, I did have to go back to the final episode of that season and, like, find the reveal and all that stuff because, you know, the premise of Scream is, like, you know, there's a serial killer on the loose and everyone's a suspect and, like, we have to figure out why they're doing this and who's next and things like that. And I love a good murder mystery. I was just going to say mystery, but I was like, yeah, well, it's technically a murder mystery because everyone's dying. And, you know, in the movies, you know, Wes Craven directed them and he did A Nightmare on Elm Street and, like, made a lot of horror movies from, like, when I started getting into horror movies.
Gotcha.
And he seems to be such a great guy. And, like,
I think you could grab a beer with him.
A little bit. And I always thought the movies were very clever because they're meta humor and they were coming out at a time where, like, not a lot of people did that sort of thing. They were horror movies that were making fun of being horror movies while still being a horror movie.
Right.
And Jamie Kennedy is also in it, and he plays the video store clerk that, like, knows it all about movies and, like, the rules to survive a horror movie, so I identified with that.
Right.
But, like, so the movies really got me interested in those stories that they take. And Timothy Oliphant in Scream 2.
Nice.
spoilers, he's actually one of the killers.
Damn.
But
now I don't
have
to watch it.
I know, but he has some good stuff in that movie.
Is he just his character from Santa Clarita?
You know, a little bit.
Good.
But he's in college.
Huh.
Which is, yeah, because that's how young he was in that movie.
Jeez.
It was in the early 90s.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the first one came out in 96, I want to say.
Okay.
So then 98, and then probably 99 or 2000. Because then Scream 4 came out in 2010.
Okay.
And that was more like, what happens if this is a remake and there's a whole new, like, generation of kids 10 years later and Neve Campbell's still in it, but, like, Neve Campbell, David Arquette, and Courtney Cox are all in it.
What does Neve Campbell sound like?
I can't even remember the line, but
I can't either.
It's a party of five. All right, that's enough. Any questions, you can email us. So the TV show takes that same formula of, like, whodunit and throws in some red herrings and shit like that, but makes it an episodic adventure that, like, it's not... So none of the real details of Scream are in it. It's almost as if... And I would have to rewatch season one at some point, but, like, it's almost as if Woodsboro, which is where the fictional town that Scream takes place in, mm-hmm. isn't a thing. It's almost like this is a new town... with a new generation of kids that, like, this is happening to. So they never reference Scream, and they don't use the same mask, like that Ghostface mask you see. Like, that's one of my favorite masks because you can find it almost anywhere, like at Rite Aid or anything during Halloween. Like, you can pick it up.
Everybody has one.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing in the movie is, like, a bunch of kids, like, buy it because it was a popular Halloween costume and, like, play pranks on other people, even though there's a serial killer on the loose with that same mask. So it's like,
just
why would you do
taste,
that? Yeah.
Right?
but so this show has its own mask that's a version of that, but not really. And there's, like, this whole backstory with, you know, this kid, Brendan James, who was, like, accused of killing people or kidnapping somebody. I don't remember season one at all. But then, like, you know, they survive it season one. Some of them survive it. There is a good amount of death. And then it starts happening again. Just the right amount. About average. And then in season two, they start going through it again slowly. And, like, the character Noah is the character who watches all the TV and movies and stuff and is sort of like trying to build his idea of who it could be, and like he has what he calls the murder board because he's been putting pieces together and like figures out that, you know, maybe one of the main characters is involved and sort of gets close to cracking it. And I'm only halfway through that season, but it sucks because it's on MTV, and MTV is like the second rate CW.
Right.
Because at least the CW, like, their storytelling. So the problem with both networks
is the improbably beautiful
people. Improbably beautiful people in these ridiculous situations.
Right.
This is the problem I have with the 100.
The 100 is at least sort of coherently strung together.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, I figured that was where you were going.
We're in season 5 of the 100 right now,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, which God even knows if we're going to watch it.
Maybe.
We'll get to that in a second.
I'm thinking that, like, we'll wait for it to come out completely and then binge watch it. I think that'll be easier than waiting.
Because I don't care about it enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the thing with the 100 is that the plot and, like, even the characters are somewhat compelling, and it is a well-structured story, so much so that, like, from where season 1 starts and where season 4 ends is, like, two different shows.
Insane.
But, like, the way they get there is pretty intelligible and, like, makes sense for the universe that they create.
It's mostly coherent for within that, yeah.
But on MTV, everyone's dumb.
Yeah.
Which can be a problem on the CW. But, like, the story... I think the only reason I'm watching this show is because of its tie to the movies.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But there are parts of the story that, like, I'm really interested in, but we never spend enough time on it, so that I'm sort of just waiting until we get to that plot point in the episode that's keeping me going through it. Otherwise, I'd be like, I don't give a shit. Some of these actors aren't even that good. Like, there's two characters I actually like. The main character I don't care about. And then, like, they introduce a new person, and because it's a murder mystery show, the biggest draw for me is figuring out who it is before they reveal it.
Okay.
So that when they do reveal, I could be like, ah, yes. Or be surprised and then be like, that was worth watching.
Okay.
Like, that's why I'm invested.
Okay.
That and its somewhat tie to the movies.
Right.
But, like, overall, it's not a great show.
Yeah, the only MTV show that I've watched is Teen Wolf.
Yeah, which is similar.
And like, it's... season 1 is, like, kind of okay. It kind of makes sense. I don't remember what season it was that I gave up, but we had gotten to the point that were jaguars were a thing. And I was like, I'm out. I'm done. I can't.
Yeah, that's a lot.
The improbably beautiful teenagers have swapped partner combinations so many times. I can't keep track of it anymore.
Yeah.
And now there are were jaguars. I'm done.
Yeah, there's no going back on that. Like,
no.
That's awful. But this is at least, like, there are parts that are gripping me.
Okay.
And, like, Noah even has a podcast called The Morgue, where he's, like, breaking down the details and is like, what will happen next?
It should be The Morgue You Know.
Yeah, but he was going... convoluted plot. The morgue was actually the... spoilers, the killer in the first season, it was her podcast.
Okay.
She was guising as this, like, reporter type thing and gaining information from the people she was interviewing.
Is guising a word?
I think so. I think.
I don't know.
It sounds like a word.
Verb that.
I can, and I did. So he kind of inherits it to sort of wrap up the story, but then when it starts happening again, he has to, like, bring it back and keep the story going. But yeah, so I've been watching Scream, the TV series, and then I just watched, I'm going to do this real quick. I'm just catching up on everything.
I'm going to go get a snack.
No, it's fine. We're fine. Yeah. I watched Jeepers Creepers 3.
Jeepers Threepers?
Jeepers Threepers. I did think of it as that a few times.
Well, good. I'm doing my job then.
It is a horror movie, as you would imagine. I figured out that I can talk about it without giving details, like, so that you won't be afraid. So that, like, I do know, because I'm not, like, the biggest part of that movie is, like, some of the details about the killer itself, but I'm not gonna give those details, I'm just gonna brush over them.
Gloss over.
Yeah. But Jeepers Creepers 3 is a movie that, you know, the horror community has been wanting for so long.
I bet the horror community is awful. I bet it's just a terrible group of people.
It's not. A lot of people that love horror movies are actually pretty sweet.
Is it just you?
No. They don't just make this shit for me.
I don't believe that.
But anyways.
Matthew Danko, kid. He needs another movie.
You know what? I wish that's how they thought. Because then I'd be like, you know what would be cool? Tusk 2.
Jeepers Forpers.
No. You know, I don't think there's going to be another one because I don't know if it just came out, but I just read this online, is that the director was basically an asshole and committed some sort of sexual crime. So I doubt there's going to be another one.
Why is it everyone?
I don't know, but,
why
you know.
Why can't men be better?
That's asking
men
too much.
Men ain't shit.
Hashtag men ain't shit.
And if you get offended by that, you're one of the men with shit.
Anyways, so skirting that problem, because I still watch the movie, and the first movie has Justin Long in it.
Okay.
Which is how
you
I
have
came.
Have a little bit of a man crush on him.
I do, because Justin Long's a good actor.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
It's a talent crush.
It is.
Okay.
Which is like how I watched the first Jeepers Creepers, like that.
Through a haze of affection.
No, I was just like, this guy's pretty cool. I'll watch this. And I was into horror movies at the time, so it made sense.
Okay.
So, like, the premise is this beast of some kind. We don't actually get, like, what it is.
Okay.
Comes out every 23 years on the 23rd day and feeds. And what it does is it takes, like, humans and, like, feeds on them. Sort of replenishes any parts, regenerates, if you will, any parts that it needs. Like, if it loses a hand, it just finds a hand that fits.
Sure. It fits, it hits.
Obviously, it's done in a really creepy way that I won't get into.
Thank you.
But he has this big truck that he, like, cruises around in and has blacked out windows and whatnot. And, like, this really distinct horn that, like, you would know. It's almost like, not the Cucaracha song, but like, it's powerful and sounds like a foghorn and like, has a tone to it.
Okay.
And like, they, you know, in the first movie, it's just like, they're driving, they're doing a road trip, they're on Route 66, and then they come through this part in Pohawk County, Texas, I think it takes place in, I don't know. And they run into this truck, and then chaos ensues.
Okay.
In the second one, it takes place, I want to say, very shortly after. But the thing is, it only happens every 23 years. So I don't think it was 23 years between these movies. I think it happens just on the same day or the same night or something. They never really explain the timeline. But anyways, there's a bus of, like, these jocks going to an out-of-state game.
Ain't that always the way?
And then this beast or whatever, like, slashes the tires from a distance, and, like, they see there's a flat tire, and they're in the middle of nowhere, so they're gonna, you know, sort of stretch their legs, and then this weird shit happens, and then they all end up back on the bus, and they're like, they get
Jeepers.
They have a spare tire, so they get that fixed, but then it gets flat again due to this guy who makes this guy, this beast that makes his weapons are all made out of like human bones and shit. And he can fly, and there's some weird shit going on.
Was Chandler there?
But
yes, he was.
So Jeepers Creepers 3, still don't know what fucking timeline it is. Like, it seems like it takes place after the first one.
Okay.
Based on a few key scenes, and I think they get some of the same actors back. But they introduce a bunch of new characters.
Okay.
Don't give a shit about any of them.
Great.
Some of them die.
Cool.
And then, like, we get more about what this beast is, but not really. Like, they even throw more convoluted shit into it. So, like, this kid was, like, out driving one night and saw this thing go up into the air, and then this hand, like, falls out of the sky. It turns out it was the hand of that beast.
Huh.
So, like, he touches it or something and freaks out and then decides he's going to bury it in the yard.
farm right next to Jumanji.
Right. And, like, he ends up dead somehow. And then the mom, like, you know, was mourning the loss of her son, and then, like, has visions of her, him, like, talking to her.
Visions of sugar plums.
Talking to her about, like, don't go out there and dig it up. You don't want to know it. It'll come back. It knows it's here, blah, blah, blah. And then she touches it. And what happens is she says when she touches it, she understands what it is and where it came from. But the audience never gets to know what it is or where it comes from.
Of course.
And then there's this, like... So, like, there's the police of Poho County. Mm-hmm. But then there's, like, this homemade... This unofficial group of people that have all experienced this beast before. And they have, like, these weird emblems that they made with, like, the little symbol of, like, the beast's head with a wing coming out of the back of it. Like a... So, kind of like these guys just decided, you know what, we're going to fight crime and, like, let's become a team or something.
So it's,
like,
the Justice League.
No, it's not. But somewhat, it kind of is. So they, like, you don't understand. We've experienced this before. This is something from another world and blah, blah, blah. And then there's this one guy who has a cowboy hat and, like, a trench coat. And he's, like, the ultimate, like, bounty hunter slash...
Han Solo.
Creeper chaser.
Han Solo.
Not Han Solo.
No?
No.
What do I know?
Nothing. I'm just kidding. I'm just leaving. No, don't leave. Anyways, so these teenage kids can't act Boba for Fett. Shit. No. You're just listing Star Wars characters.
Isn't Boba Fett a bounty hunter?
Yes. But you're missing the point.
Sorry. What the point?
He's like, you know, he's just... We don't even get any information about this dude.
Okay.
We don't get information a lot through this movie. Instead, we get these, like, shots that are slowed down for cinematic purposes, but don't actually have any action going on in them. And then we get some CGI, like, action shots of, like, a truck flipping over, but we see it through the window of the car, and it's blurred out. So we can't really make it out entirely. And
so this
then
is bad editing.
Bad editing and bad, like, just the movie itself. Like, oh. There's a scene where this dude, because it's all taking place in the country. So this dude is, like, on this stack of hay that he's, like, loading up in trucks and stuff. And then his partner comes in and, like, crashes his car because he's just encountered the beast back there and is, like, all shaken up. And his car is ripped to shit. But, like, we show the guy... pushing the hay, and then we hear this crash, and then there's smoke all off screen, and then we take the reaction shot of the guy that's doing the hay, and then we pan to a car that's just crashed into the hay, and we see the kid behind the wheel. So we get no, like, action part of it, seeing it crash.
Huh.
And there was a lot of that throughout the movie. Like, we see it and hear, we hear it off screen and hear or and see, like, smoke and some effects of it, but then we don't actually see the points of contact or anything like that. Maybe it was a way to keep the budget down. I don't know.
Maybe.
But the story concludes in a very anticlimactic way.
Sounds on brand.
They get the beast, but then the only part that I thought was cool was the very end. Like, the survivor girl makes it. She's, like, shaken up, but she's like, I'm getting better. I'm going out into the sun and everything's fine. La-di-da-di-da. And then her boyfriend, who I guess this is her boyfriend now, who's seen some shit, is fine too. And he's like, I'm going to be going away for a few days, blah, blah, blah. Try not to, you know, get into much trouble on my way back or on while I'm gone or something like that. Sorry. I lost my own train of thought. And then he's like, at his pickup truck that he's just dropped off, and he out of the back of it, he pulls out this yellow jacket and puts the yellow jacket on, and it's the school jacket from the second movie, the school team that was going on this state trip. So he gets on the bus in the next scene to that same bus that ends up in the second movie. So
the timeline is completely fucked.
So it, like, it sort of takes place between Jeepers Creepers 1 and 2, but doesn't let you know where you are in space and time, and then has a cool little cameo from the girl from the first one. So, like, the tie-in at the end of that was very much akin to, like, the Final Destination movie. I think it was The Final Destination or Final Destination 5. Spoilers if you haven't seen those movies, but...
Final Destination.
No.
Final Goes West.
But, like, that movie was super cool because it didn't let you know...
Final? Yeah, it
was. Yes. No. Final Destination 5, which I think it was super cool because it didn't let you know where you were in time until the final scene of the movie where they, like, board the plane from the first movie and they see the kids from the first movie being escorted off the plane. So you know what's about to happen because it's, like, taking place... Like, they're going to die anyway on the plane, and, like, it's super cool. Sorry, I got super excited there. So,
it's
like,
just so cool.
It is.
I'm going to flip,
like,
this desk
that,
over.
I was super unimpressed by Final Destination 4. And then 5, I was like, I'll watch it just because I need to watch it. And then I was like, holy shit, this ending makes
Stop
the whole movie
flailing.
Worth it.
It's bad
and then,
for
like,
our apartment.
So it was similar to that in Jeepers Creepers 3, where, but I didn't care about the rest of the movie at all, even after that cool part at the end.
Yikes.
And, like, a lot of fans were probably disappointed. I wish Justin Long could make an appearance, even though he died in the first one.
I thought you were saying he had actually died.
Oh, no.
What?
No, I would be way sadder.
I know.
So that's what I've been watching.
Everything, basically.
Just those two things, and then Arrested Development I had to give a shout-out to.
Sure.
A long, drawn-out shout-out.
Because that's the Matthew Denko
yes.
way.
So what's next?
So... I totally forgot what was happening. I know.
Time.
Well, okay. I think we have a couple of things to discuss.
Okay.
I know we want to talk about iZombie.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about the 100 briefly.
The new
yeah,
episode?
Yeah. Because we already did the old
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we went hard
thoroughly,
on the old
yeah.
stuff. Yeah. I mean, all right. And then
I
we
like
watched an episode
things.
Of Doctor Who. Or
yeah, but I figured we would
two.
Get that once we finish the finale.
Yeah, I think that'll be better.
Yeah, so now
cool.
that we have a plan.
Yeah.
Why don't we do the 100 first?
Yeah,
because
that'll be quick.
So season 5 of the 100
yeah.
started. My previous thoughts on the 100 is, like, I wanted to stop watching after Lexa died, but, we finished out the season,
mm-hmm.
and it just ended, like, really interestingly to the, well, for the CW.
Wait. The series had ended? Like, season 4
yeah,
ended?
Yeah, season
okay.
4 ended.
I thought you meant, like, where it stopped. Ended very interestingly. Where you wanted to stop watching it after
no.
Lexa died. All right.
No, interesting things were still happening
yeah.
after Lexa,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately.
Right.
Yeah, so, like, season 4 was kind of crazy, and it ended with, like, a bunch of them going back into space again.
Yeah,
and some
spoilers
of them,
for the 100,
right.
if you haven't seen
right.
season 4.
Some of them being locked underground in a bunker, and then Clark, for all intents and purposes, left to die on Earth.
Yeah, she, like, had to do this one thing to, like, get
she
a
had to do
signal.
One goddamn thing.
She did, like, beat the storm before it happens and make it back to the base where they're getting in the ship to go back to the
she
Ark.
She couldn't do it because she was too busy being angsty or whatever.
She wasn't
she
fast
She had to stop
enough.
And do her eyebrows or something.
That wasn't true. She just was, like, half-assing it when she was there and then didn't have enough time to get back. And they were just like, she was like, you know what, if I don't make it back, just go without me. And that's what they did.
Right. And we were like, I wonder if they're going to actually go or
right.
if they're all going to die for Juan Haida, the
yeah.
master of death.
Right. So, like, they make it up into space just barely.
Yeah.
Like, running out of power or air or something.
Everything, all of the
and,
above.
Like, they make it to the Ark and then they turn it on.
Yes, Clark had to do something to turn it on.
Yeah,
them.
Like, there was a signal she had to send from the ground to
and it,
at turn
first,
it on.
Like, it seems like she did not do it, but
yeah.
then things turn on and they're fine.
Yeah.
So we assume that, like, Clark is going to die because poisonous radiation
right.
is overtaking the Earth, but Clark is the main character, so she's
yeah.
not going to die, unfortunately.
And she's a Nightblood.
Right, which means she survived all
yeah.
of the toxic shit. The end of season 4 was, like... a 6 years later kind of thing.
Either, yeah, six, it had to be a good amount of time. Six
yeah.
years probably
I think
is
it was
right.
six because the people from the Ark were supposed to come down after 5.
Okay.
So
yeah.
it was 6 years later. There's been no contact from the Ark. The people from the bunker have not come out.
Yeah.
Clark has somehow picked up a small child.
Yeah.
And there was a ship descending that wasn't the people from the Ark, but ended up being like a space prisoner ship.
Yeah, a prison transport ship.
Right. So that was where season four ended.
And it was super like, what the fuck?
Right. Episode one of season five, the majority of the whole fucking thing is just Clark wandering around in this radiation-soaked wasteland.
Yeah. So like, not only do we just bypass the 6 years later thing? Like,
yeah, we jump back to the minute that this all happened.
Yeah, and then like, then it's like 42 days later, and she wakes up and like starts
being like, dramatic,
going out into the land and like finding her bearings. And she's like, "I need water." And like, she finds a vehicle, or maybe she doesn't find the vehicle right away, but like, she stumbles into the desert.
Right.
And is like super, you know, dehydrated and depressed and like throwing away all the shit she has on her, and is just like, "I need water," and then like passes out on the ground.
Yeah, presumably to die.
Yeah.
And then she opens her eyes and sees a bird.
And she's like, "Oh, a bird."
Runs after it.
like, if a bird is here, that means I'll be safe because there'll be like water.
Also, my bigger issue is she has just, like, collapsed from heat and exhaustion and hunger and thirst, and now she's running after the bird.
Through the desert. But like, whatever. So she runs after the bird, makes it up this, like, dune, and then there's nothing. It's just a wasteland.
Right, as far as the eye can see.
And then she's like, "Fucking bird." And then she makes it back down.
She runs up the next dune.
And then she, like, finds the bird again, and she chases it in the other direction, and then it's another dune, and then there's, like,
this improbably untouched jungle valley. Like,
so
oh,
ridiculous. Okay. And then she was like a second away from blowing her brains out.
Yeah, like literally with a gun.
And like, then she's like, "Oh, a bird." And then like, like, "I'm safe." The girl who like survived four seasons of some intense shit, like Mount Weather and like the Grounders and like,
and her girlfriend's demise,
like,
in front of her,
you know, Ice like, Nation and like a gladiator style kill for all, like,
right, it's,
she's
been
through
some
shit, like,
right,
the AI whole thing,
and it has ruined her, like, and she was kind of annoying to begin with. It has made her so much worse.
And then really this whole like desert walking thing, regardless, like, just wait for rain.
Right. Be fucking patient,
right,
Clark.
Or like,
I know it's the CW,
Earth,
but chill
skills
for one,
you took
goddamn
that,
second.
I thought.
Yeah.
Like, you prepared for this. But anyway, so she's fine. She finds this small grounder who is a Nightblood.
Apparently, this little,
yeah.
I say little girl. I think she's like 11, maybe 12.
When we meet her, she's like 11,
she's
and 12.
Young, yeah.
But then she like, when they jump a little
right,
forward,
then we
in time,
jump to 6 years.
We sort of, yeah, jump right back to where season four ended.
Right.
With prison ship.
Right. We hear that the people on the Ark are okay. Mm-hmm. They don't have enough fuel to get back to the ground.
Yeah.
All we learn about the bunker is like in the final shot of the episode, we see Octavia, or no, we see this like gladiatorial combat, mm-hmm, happening in like a pit that's presumably in the bunker, and then
yeah,
it like pans up and there's Octavia sitting
like,
in a throne
staring like,
down at it, like, you know, which is, it's probably better for the bunker that Octavia is in charge, because,
I agree,
but
that's the thing though,
the
is
fuck?
There wasn't only like grounders and
right
other tribes there was like the people from the Ark that were in Arcadia.
Yeah.
Was it Arcadia?
Yeah, they
the ground.
It Arcadia,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like survivors, and like, so presumably, you know, Kane and
Abby.
Abby, I couldn't remember her
right
name, and Jaha are also kicking.
Fuck Jaha.
I know,
to die.
But, you know, maybe they just didn't use them for the first episode because there was
maybe
a lot of information with the prison ship.
Because Clark was like on her own for 30 minutes of a 45
yeah
minute episode.
Yeah.
Like, not even exaggerating.
No,
it was
in CW
just
fashion,
her,
like brooding and like,
yeah,
falling apart for
I was
like
thinking
no
about
reason.
What like the shooting schedule must have looked like for that. You know, so for the first episode, we really just need Clark.
Right.
Like, none of you even have to show up until next week.
Yeah. And I don't even know what, like, they like find the girl, the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Clark kills them. Or one
the
of
prisoners?
Them? Yeah, I don't remember really.
Yeah,
what
like the prisoners
the
are being
was
set up to be the bad guy of this season.
Yeah,
which, like, fine, whatever. But I want the issues from the last season to be resolved before we have a new bad guy.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like a lot of series do that. They very obviously introduce the new conflict before the, you know, millions of other, you know, ends of plots are tied up. See Deathly Hallows.
Right. Well, I imagine, like, they could tell these three separate stories for a good portion of the season.
They don't.
I know, but they could, because, like, the bunker, maybe they don't know it's safe to go out, and then the Ark has no way of communicating because something's wrong with the radios, and, like, now Clark is with these prisoners. Like, they have to introduce probably one more thing, either, like, a common threat to the prisoners and Clark, or, like, maybe Clark lets it slip that there's a bunker. I don't know. There's got to be something. If it's just Clark and the prisoners right now, and, you know, maybe Clark doesn't become one of their prisoners, then they have to be working together for something.
Maybe they'll kill her. They won't. She's going to live forever. Right. She annoys the shit out of me. She's so dramatic.
I know. And the people on the Ark, at least, know about that ship. They just had no way of contacting them.
Yeah, they saw it going to Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're like, maybe we can piggyback. And we can...
So maybe that's that'll be what they do.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Who's to say?
I can't see them lasting much longer if they keep them separate.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, the show was, like, struggling for ratings towards the end of the last season anyway, because so many people boycotted after Alexa. Yeah.
Well, I get that.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, they did build up to it.
Yeah, like, what we decided on when we were talking about it was that it's shitty that they did it, but it wasn't just out of the blue.
Right.
Like, it was clearly something was going to happen to Lexa.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean,
I think the proximity and time of, like, Lexa and Clark getting together made it worse.
That was really
bad. I think if there was more time, especially if they had more time together, then, you know, she would feel the weight of that even more.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you, spoilers, bring her back for the scene in the AI simulation thing, it would be so much cooler.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the kill your gaze thing has been, or bury your gaze, I think is what it's called, has been around.
I think it's kill your gaze.
Okay, maybe.
Kill your darlings is what it's called. But
it's been around forever, and people are just sort of starting to be cognizant and to speak out when tropes are bad and should be ended. So this is sort of just, like, it was a show that was fairly popular with millennials because there was a lot of queer representation there for a little while.
Yeah.
And then sort of systematically most of the queer characters started getting killed off.
Yeah.
And then Lexa was, I mean, minutes after they had sex for the first time.
Yeah,
like,
they just killed her
off. She's just gone. Yeah. But that was really bad. People reasonably freaked out about it. So, it fucked their ratings. So if they don't bring this show back to something interesting, then I don't know.
Which is a shame, because it has potential. Like, I mean, end of the world shit always has potential, because there are so many new places you can go. And since they went from, like, okay, we're a bunch of delinquent kids that, like, are being tested, like, we're being the guinea pigs for this can we live back on Earth thing. You know, you have sort of a Lord of the Flies storyline going on, and then the adults are up in space, and then they're like, well, we can survive up here for a little bit, but once we know it's safe to go down, we'll go down, and then you have the two different worlds colliding, and like, every step of the way, it made sense. Like, oh, there are other people that were on Earth first.
Yeah, like Mount Weather being brought into it. Yeah.
And then, like, the AI thing was sort of out of left field, but at the same time, makes a bit of sense.
It was absolutely crazy, but it worked well within the context of this show that's absolutely crazy.
And, like, not only the AI, but the creator of the AI making Nightbloods and the whole Commander storyline
together. Yeah, like, that was mind-blowing.
It was very well told, and, like, the CW show.
I mean, it was stuff that you didn't see coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, you know, for a CW show.
Right.
Like...
Yeah. While still keeping in that same, like, genre of...
Yeah, like, the show had so much potential, and I'm worried that it has already shat it all away.
And that's the problem, is because we're not going to watch it live to contribute to the ratings, so...
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not that invested.
No. I would just like a few of the characters to, like, make it through, like Bellamy and Octavia.
Bellamy, Octavia, Monty.
Monty, for sure. Kane and
Abby.
I don't really care about Abby.
Yeah, it's true.
Abby
really
was
dramatic.
jerk in one of the other seasons. Kane, at least, was a jerk in the beginning, but then, like,
got
learned.
Fast.
Like, there was character development. Right. Even Murphy, to some extent.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I'm curious about what's going on now.
Yeah, like, I still don't 100% know if he's, like, a good guy.
He's sort of being painted as a survivor. Like, yeah. He does what he needs to do.
Right, and he realizes that.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
But, all right. Okay. So, for a quick 100 was... Well, like, the 100 just is... very topical. Like, there's a lot you can talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. But the other
kind
thing,
of show it is. But yeah, so.
So right. We've also been watching iZombie, which I think we touched on a little bit last week.
I think so. It might have been last week.
Might have been the week before.
I don't know. We got through, you know, the seasons
last week
pretty quickly.
Was Infinity War. So we talked about iZombie, it was the week before.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so we are caught up on iZombie.
To what's current. I don't know what day it comes out.
I don't either.
Yeah.
And it's another one that's sort of gotten to the point where, like, okay, we could keep watching.
I mean, so that's the thing, though, is that, you know, at least with season one, I think, it kind of was slow halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
But then once we got to the latter half, it started having, like, a plot.
Yeah.
Like, there was a plot from the beginning, but it wasn't gripping enough or we didn't understand it enough to, like, get what the show was aiming towards.
Right.
Because it does present itself as very much like a... what's it, 30 minutes or 45 minutes?
It's 45. It's
a 45 minute, like, let's solve a crime.
Yeah,
I
like
the
Monster
brain.
Of the Week style.
Yeah,
like.
I eat the brain, I gain visions, let's solve this crime and put away bad guys.
And so what normally happens is you do that long enough to establish the show, and then it gets a capital P plot that's going to carry you through that season and the next and so on and so forth.
Right.
And iZombie got... a big plot, but it never phased out that
monster of the week
style, which just there was a lot happening. Like at one point there was the Max Rager plot, there was whatever was going on with Mr. Boss, there was what else, like Major and Liv were always
so like
something.
Yeah, there was like so because because Liv is a zombie and her fiance, whose ex-fiance wasn't, like, there was that point of contention. But then, you know, there's zombies are becoming a thing and Major's been kept out of the loop. So, like, once he starts figuring out, oh, the kids that I was watching, like, at this shelter.
He's like a youth counselor for, like, in trouble youth.
And the some of the youth were starting to disappear, and he was, like, concerned about it, so he started looking into it.
Because it was kids that wouldn't just run away.
Yeah, they were kids that he knew, and, like,
they
wouldn't run away.
They were on good paths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, headed in the right directions, and...
And it's all kids from this, like, one specific, like, skate park that are disappearing without a trace.
So he goes and asks questions, and eventually, like, it leads him to this one guy who... Basically, he finds out zombies are a thing, and he decides he's gonna take them on himself.
Like... But then somebody... tells him that, like, definitively zombies are not real. If you are telling me that you saw what you think you saw, you need to like
seek psychiatric help.
And Liv, who is a zombie and is still very close to Major at this point, does not correct that.
No.
And Major goes into like a psychiatric care
ward.
Facility because he firmly believes that he's losing his mind because he's like, I know that I saw that and it can't be real and you're telling me that it's not real, so
and then eventually like he's not let in on it, but he finds more evidence to suggest that there are zombies and they're operating out of this butcher shop called Meat Cute, and like he goes after them, he buys guns and like a grenade and like goes in guns blazing and like ends up at the end of that, spoilers, he, you know, he kills almost all of them except Blaine, I think, is the last one.
Yeah,
I think so. And then Blaine, like, stabs him.
Fatally, air quotes.
And Major's bleeding out, and then Liv shows up.
And turns him into a zombie.
Yeah, and that starts a whole new plot for season two.
Right. Which, so it's cool, it's gripping, but we are still spending so much of each episode on this Monster of the Week crime drama thing.
And that doesn't always have to be the way it goes.
Like, you can phase that part out,
like,
now that we're attached.
Unless the crime or the Monster of the Week comes back to the plot somehow, which in some cases it did, But more often than not, it didn't.
Like, right, it just wasn't relevant.
There was never a time where they're like, oh, we have a dead body here, and it's zombies have done it. Like, and only we can know that it's zombies because even our police officer detective doesn't know zombies are a thing.
Most of the time.
But yeah, then you have the Max Rager thing where it's like a PR
So there's this
nightmare.
Energy drink that, like, apparently the boat party where Liv got turned into a zombie, people were drinking this Max Rager energy drink and taking this drug Utopium that was cut in a weird way that the people at that party were getting the weird Utopium and the Max Rager, and many of them turned into zombies.
Right. And like the Max Rager already had reports of turning like normal regular people into like adrenaline, like rage-fueled people.
Very violent episodes while on this energy drink.
Yeah, just the energy drink.
Right.
But then you throw this weird cut of Utopium in, and it turns them into like brain-eating zombies where they're just ripping people apart.
Right.
Which causes sort of this zombie outbreak. And so like Max Rager knows that, you know, their energy drink causes the side effect. I don't think they know about zombies at first.
Right. I think they find out.
Yeah.
But again, there's so much going
on. There was a lot going on. But then they like hire Major to hunt zombies.
Because Ravi, who works in the morgue with Liv, comes up with a zombie cure. And one of the side effects of the cure
is that you can sort of detect a zombie.
You can detect zombies. So they find out, Max Rager finds out that Major has this ability. Mm-hmm. They don't know the rest of the backstory. I don't remember why at that point. Was there just not enough of the cure for Liv to take it? Or had it not been tested? Like, what
he didn't
the
have
fuck
enough.
Happened?
He didn't have enough Utopium to recreate the cure.
So Blaine took it.
Yeah.
And Major took it.
Blaine took it as the guinea pig to make sure that
it was good
because in the rats it didn't last very long.
Okay.
And I want to say it wasn't for some time that Major took it.
Right.
Right?
Major was a zombie for a little bit.
Yeah.
But then at some point he got the cure.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's the point we're trying to make, is there's so much shit that's happened.
It's very convoluted that even major plot points, pardon the pun, like a character that we really like getting turned into a zombie and then turned back to human again just didn't really stick. The other thing about Major is that this guy is like, he looks like he's out of a fucking Nicholas Sparks movie.
Yeah.
Is one of the jokes that's made in the show. He is just this Adonis-looking guy. And it would be so easy to hate him, but he has a very fleshed out, enjoyable character. He's funny and he's self-deprecating and he's just like, he's smart.
Yeah.
So we
He's
we
a
love
really
him.
Cool character.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite characters, I think. He and Ravi.
They're both very strong characters. I don't care so much about Liv, unfortunately.
Yeah, because Liv, like the thing with the brains with this version of the zombie story is that when the zombie ingests the brain, they get sort of the personality and some of the memories of the person whose brain it was, which makes sense from a narrative standpoint, but from a having to watch it, she's someone different every week.
Yeah, so very rarely can we tell who she is being when she's speaking to a character, so much so that they don't even know. Like, they're like, I know you're on a different brain, and like, she's like, no, but this is me, and it's like, no, it's
right.
not. It's
and like
the
for the cinematic value of it, the traits that she's assuming are always over the top to the point where
especially lately.
Yeah, to the point where it's really annoying.
Yeah.
Like, she can't get through a conversation.
She's been like cartoon characters.
Yeah.
Like this dude that worked at, or not even worked at a Renaissance fair, but did like live action role playing.
Yeah.
So she spoke in like ye old English the whole episode.
The whole time. It was
didn't break
so
character.
Annoying.
And then there's another episode where she eats the brain of a rap artist and she didn't go as hard with like an accent, but like she would wear these like thug clothes and like rap every other scene or something
really
like
weird.
That. It was very weird, but like she also doesn't retain any of these abilities or anything, so it's kind of just like I've done this and then we forget about it for the next thing.
Right.
The
season that we're on now, like there's so much potential for interesting things to be happening because what has happened is there's a corporation.
A corporation,
Fillmore Graves.
Fillmore Graves, thank you. Bought out Max Rager.
Right.
Because, well, they give some bullshit reason, but the real reason is because they know their energy drink creates zombies and mm-hmm. stuff. But also, Fillmore Graves, as the corporation, is a corporation of zombies.
Right, zombie run.
Yeah. Like... And they sort of end up being, I don't know how, but like the authoritarian police state.
Well, because what happens is that they get all of these people infected with the zombie virus.
No, I know that, but I don't know why people just assume, like, have them assume power.
Because what happens is there's a flu outbreak, so they... the CDC tells everyone to get vaccinated. And then in the throes of the vaccination and people starting... So Fillmore Graves tampers with the vaccinations.
Right. They put the zombie virus in the vaccinations to turn those who get it into zombies.
So in the throes of people starting to turn, Chase Graves mm-hmm. goes on TV and explains what's happening, what the plan is, what they're going to do about it. I think it's sort of just a situation of somebody saying, we're going to be in charge. And it's such a chaotic, confusing time that like there's a calm, rational, reasonably good-looking person saying, this is what we're going to do.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. It seemed, because what they end up doing is quarantining basically Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle is like walled off from the rest of the
world. There's walls up and like these people, there's a curfew in place and like, you can't even go outside of Seattle.
Right.
Unless you have very special authorization.
They're trying
or
to keep the zombie virus contained.
Right, which is weird since they spread it, but...
I think the idea is to eventually spread it.
Probably. But... That would be their motive.
Right.
I also think, because when we meet Fillmore Graves, or that's not his name. His name is something Graves.
Chase Graves.
Chase Graves. Yes, you did just say that. He is acting... I don't know the name of it. Like, the position he has. For all intents and purposes, let's say the president of Fillmore Graves.
Sure.
His sister... is killed by like these anti-zombie
activists
who are like, I'd rather have a bullet in my head than be turned into a zombie and like blah 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 blah.
No, it wasn't anti-zombie activists that killed her. It was the woman who worked at Fillmore Graves who was trying to the woman who was president, her plan was Zombie Island.
Yeah.
But this the woman who was part of this, like, within Fillmore Graves resistance group.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
There was some political
There was some crazy political maneuvering. Right. But, yeah, so
she
the former
the
president
one.
Is killed. Chase Graves takes over.
Yeah.
And is sort of stuck with this plan B option.
Yeah.
Because they've already... It's this, like, crazy extremist group has already activated.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Okay, I forgot about all that shit.
Yeah.
But, like... It can be, it's very confusing, like, when you're watching it, though, it sort of makes sense.
Sort of.
Trying to recount it on, you know, a second thought.
Because we're jumping around.
Yeah,
but so the part that could be interesting is that we are in, they're calling it New Seattle, which is zombie run.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still humans and zombies, and the idea is that they will be able to live peacefully.
Yeah.
And that the brains that the zombies need to survive will be donated by people who have died, like, all around the country and the world. So nobody's murdering for these brains.
No.
And they're also being, like, ground up into, like, a paste, so you don't get
like,
the personalities and the memories that live.
Like a Gogurt-style tube.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. But what's also happening is that the more zombies there are, the less food there is to feed them. So there's, like, a very strict, like, not spreading zombie viruses.
It's a capital offense.
Yeah. Like,
according to Fillmore Graves, to turn somebody into a zombie.
Yeah.
Because there is a brain shortage.
Right.
Chase Graves always looks like he's about 30 seconds from either raging out or just shooting himself in the head. Like, that poor man. I go back and forth on how I feel
know,
about him.
I know. I do too. Because I didn't like him at the beginning, but then, like, there were some things he would do that I was like, okay. And then, it always goes back and forth.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't care as much about Liv anymore.
No.
Major is still really interesting.
Yeah, because
he's making some questionable choices, but there's a lot going on.
But he's doing it for reasons.
Yeah.
Like, there's a plot to why he's making these choices.
Yeah.
The only thing, like, so there's this other plot point of this, like, underground railroad type situation where they're trying to get people who are sick outside of Seattle, smuggle them into Seattle so that Liv can scratch them to cure them of their disease.
Right, and Liv took over for the woman who was doing it, right, who Fillmore Graves executed, because they found out she was doing it.
Like, people that are moments from death, basically.
Yeah, I mean, like, a guy had Parkinson's, and some, you know, a baby's mother had cancer or something. I don't know, it's ridiculous. There's a lot going on.
Right. But, like, there's a political aspect to it as well. Like, not only are there people... There are, like, bars and stuff where it's, like, zombie-free zone and shit like that that are very against having zombies. Yeah. Then there's the plot we didn't even touch on with the zombie church that's going on.
With Teabag from Prison Break.
I know.
So... I saw him. He showed up and I literally screamed. Like, I hate him.
I told Hillary, like, because I looked it up on IMDb. Just, I was looking for something. And then I found out Robert Nemper, who plays... Teabag on Prison Break is in the show, and I'm like, oh. She's like, what? And I was like, there's gonna be somebody you recognize on this show. She's like, trying to get me to tell her who it is. And then I was like, because I had found out that not only was he gonna be on the show, but he was gonna be a regular character in season 4, which we were about to watch,
right?
And that he's Blaine's father, which makes so much sense.
Yeah,
like, it was all building up to just awesome. And I was so glad, because he's such a good actor, but his characters are always so awful. And in this show, he plays this, like, born again zombie who
started,
like,
this, like, zombie church preaching zombie supremacy. It's crazy.
It's so crazy. But that's my point, is there are a lot of political aspects to it of, like, zombie and human cohabitation. Like,
the
point of, like, people who are in a zombie-human couple, they can't, you know, have sex because it'll transmit
the zombie virus.
So, you know, either they make that choice on their own or they just live in this, like, loveless sort of...
Well, sexless.
Sexless, sorry. Love and sex, it's fine.
And, like, the political stuff would be so interesting to, like, just focus on that. But the thing is, we're still fucking doing Monster of the Week-style murders.
And especially now with the city being walled off, like, nobody should be committing murders within the walls. Like, there's so much other stuff going on. If they're not murdering, like, human-on-human murders, it should be more, like, zombie-on-human murders and human-on-zombie murders that, like, raises that political tension more.
And it should all be related.
That's what,
But we've had so many, like, all of them are still just not related to a bigger plot.
Right. And
it wastes a lot of time.
I know. I can't even remember the whole, like, so Blaine stole these cures to turn zombies into humans and turned a very well-known zombie into a human and then murdered him so that he could sell the zombie cure.
The cures work so he could sell it.
So I'm curious where that's going. But, like, there's a lot going on. We're only on episode 9.
Of season 4.
And if I'm correct, most of the seasons... I mean, seasons 1 and 3 only had, like, 13 episodes.
Right.
Season 2 had 19.
Right.
So we don't have that much more either way.
Yeah, and there's not really an overarching plot of this season.
There's some with the Blaine storyline. Other than that, I don't think there is. Yeah. I mean, Major's, like, keeping an eye on that
one.
On
this guy that I don't remember anything significant about.
He was just doing, like, back dealings in Fillmore Graves, like...
Yeah.
Black market shit. And, like, they want... Chase Graves wants Major to keep an eye on him. And then the church thing. Like, the church thing is sort of just, like, a side plot. Yeah. But it's not, like, they're actively going towards something.
Right. There's not, like, a judgment day.
Yeah, and it's not, like... That would be cool, though.
Yeah.
There's not, like, Teabags actually has all of his wits together and is trying to come up with this huge plan to overthrow Blaine or some shit.
Unless he is.
I mean, maybe, but I don't think so, the way he's been acting.
So there's a lot
happening. iZombie's worth watching, at least.
Yeah.
It'll keep you, like, going, like, what the fuck is happening?
And some of the characters are really likable.
Yeah.
Like, Major's great, Robbie's great, Peyton's pretty interesting.
All right.
Yeah.
Ally Mashaka.
Yeah. Mashaka.
Isn't that her last name?
Mashalka?
I don't know. I remember on Disney Channel, they pronounce it Mashaka.
Possible. You watched more Disney Channel than I did.
I did, yes. She was in the movie Now You See Me. It's about a magic show. It's fine. Figured. Yeah, but it was like real magic.
Other characters are there?
I don't know. I mean, Blaine.
I don't care about Blaine.
I like Blaine. I think I like Blaine as an actor more than I like his character.
Yeah, I think the problem with Blaine that I've talked to you about is like there's sort of, you know, the first time you saw him, you were like, oh, it's Spike from Buffy.
Because he was very much Spike.
But the thing with Spike is that, like, we meet Spike and, like, yeah, he's funny, but he's doing these, like, heinous, vile, evil things. But Blaine sort of, like, fizzles from that very quickly if he's ever actually that vile. Like, he's trying to make money. But...
Look, he was evil in season one. I think it does start going at season two, but there's that whole, like, Blaine lost his memory storyline.
But that's just stupid. But like
it actually happens, and then he gains it back, but then he's like, I have this new life, and I don't want to blow it up.
But he gets, like, gentle, and they're trying to make him likable fast. The thing with Spike is that he's evil up until something happens where it is physically impossible for him to be evil anymore, and then he's still, like, the same personality, just without this core thing.
When I said he was Spike, I hadn't seen a lot of Spike, just that what you've told me is, like, well, from what I've seen of Spike in seasons one and two.
Right.
And then, like, you're like, yeah, but he becomes good, and I love Spike because he has this turning point and, like, all this other stuff. And I was like, well, Blaine has some of the same character qualities.
He has the look.
He very much has the look.
Yeah.
And, like, has some of the same qualities throughout a lot of the show, but, yeah, he always reverts back to being... quote unquote evil.
But he's not even really evil. He's just gently annoying.
You don't think murdering the mayor just to make money?
The mayor was a bad dude.
The mayor wasn't a bad dude.
The mayor was even a dominatrix on the side.
That's not bad. That's just kinky.
It's not great. I think he was married.
Yeah. So morally, maybe questionable.
Right.
But, like, he wasn't, like, using it for political corruption.
I think Fillmore Graves is up to something bad.
I think so too.
And the mayor was his figurehead, or Fillmore Graves' figurehead.
No, I think the mayor was very much like Dex Hart from Parks and Recreation.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
No, but Dex Hart was harmless. He was just...
Dex Hart was awful.
He was a sexist, misogynist, like,
I would have killed
everyone.
Him.
Yeah, but that's not... being just, like, bad towards women... Listen.
Watch your
words. Is not the same as being, like, globally bad. Like, so, like, cheating is shitty for the people that you're cheating on.
But it's not just cheating. It's being a bad person.
But he's not a bad person, is what I'm saying.
Dex
he's not making bad, like... I think...
As far as we know, he's not murdering anyone.
Right,
but
that's bad. That's bad behavior. That makes you a bad person.
Sexism is bad behavior, and it makes you a bad person.
Okay, that's not untrue, but, like, he's not hurting anyone is what I'm trying to say.
He's hurting his wife.
If his wife doesn't know.
His wife doesn't know.
You don't know that she doesn't
know.
We have
been met. There was a whole big thing about when we mentioned, when the dominatrix got mentioned and he got all, like, cagey and was like, you can't make a big deal about it. And they thought that he was the one that murdered her.
I think it's more of a political thing. I think he
I
doesn't
think
want to...
politically a bad dude.
I don't think he's politically a bad dude.
It doesn't matter. The point is, the stuff that Blaine is doing is annoying at best.
You're right. It wasn't
not
even
evil.
About
him. He's not a compelling bad guy.
He is, though.
I don't find him compelling.
Well, you just hate him because I compared him to Spike, and you love Spike more than you like Blaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That has nothing to do with Blaine as a character.
It has a lot
it's
to do with
Blaine.
It's
the one comparison
character.
I made
Blaine's
in the
boring
beginning.
And I hate him.
Blaine's not boring.
Blaine's super boring.
No, he's not.
Okay.
Liv is boring.
Liv is boring. Also, her name is Liv Moore. Olivia Moore.
Yeah.
A lot of the names are like that. Major Lilywhite is just stupid. Fillmore
Okay,
Graves.
But Major Lilywhite isn't the same thing. It's just a dumb name.
What if I turn the mic off right now?
Then our show would just cut out.
Bye.
You're just done talking because I'm right.
You're not right.
I am right.
You're annoying at best.
Well, then me and Blaine have something in
Great,
common.
Great, you can go fuck off together.
I will.
Great.
He'll keep me well fed.
And warm at night.
Yeah. No, he probably is very cold. I imagine zombies have cold-blooded.
Dead.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. He is still a zombie.
I think
point.
So. I was trying to remember
if he took the cure.
No, because he ate a brain in one of the recent episodes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of somebody plot significant.
Yeah.
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 Who I don't remember. Because there's too much happening.
Yeah. But it's still a good show that you should watch at least. At least seasons three. Seasons one through three. Yeah.
Watch the seasons three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I think that was a good episode.
I think it was an okay episode.
Why?
It was great.
Fine. I'm your host, Matthew the Dr. Danko.
Your co-host, Hillary Crum.
Until next time.
Bye.
Once the show ends, please don't shed those tears. We'll come back again, so have no fear. Oh, we told you that it just might end up this way. What's the show called again? You cannot be saying, why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you warn me now? Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you warn me now?